You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
June 15, 2022, reminding you we are live streaming at rumble.com. Go to rumble.com, enter a search engine, Larry Connors, USA, all one word. It'll take you right to our page, push live, and you're in studio with us. Thanks for either watching us or watching now or watching later when you have time. And thank you for listening by whatever means, by radio or our app. We're reaching all over the nation. I got to notice today we got new listeners in the Philippines. Glad to have you. So, President Biden is now threatening to use emergency powers if American oil companies don't increase output at their refineries. Let me explain a simple little fact. You don't have to grow up in the West Texas oil fields as I did. Yes, I'm Texas trash and proud of it. Texas oil field trash and proud of it. But you can't refine what you don't have. And we have a lot of oil companies that are no longer drilling because they don't know what kind of regulatory acts are going to be levied against them. They've been cut off of some land and federal, state, and land leases that they were going to use. And, of course, Biden is still trying to make people suffer at the gas pump, so he doesn't want the oil companies drilling. But he's going to blame them for the oil prices going up. He said in a speech the other day at the Port of L.A., Exxon made more money last year than God. Now, you and I both doubt that statement, but let's just say, first of all, God doesn't care about money. But secondly, he claims it is because they're not putting more money into drilling. They're not using their money and resources like that. They're buying back their stock. That's what a company does when you begin to shut it down. They start looking about, let's take advantage of a lower price for the stock and buy it and hold more when we can resume again. 2024, for sure. By the way, you've got other Democrats that are as stupid as Biden when it comes to understanding oil and gas, because Biden now is planning to go to Saudi Arabia and the Middle East to ask for, hey, brother, can you spare us some oil? We've got oil and gas in this land. We were energy independent under Trump. Biden changed all of that. One source has stated, look, just reopen the Keystone Pipeline. You'll have oil and gas producing immediately. But Jackson Lee, of course, another sharp Democrat, said, I hope Biden will be demanding and firm with these oil-producing nations on prices. Yeah, because they're going to blame them again for the prices and the oil companies. Candace, backed by former President Donald Trump, had a near-perfect night in South Carolina, Nevada, and North Dakota primaries last evening. A big, big one, though. This one came out of Texas, and I told you yesterday, be watching for it. It's going to happen. Myra Flores flips the Rio Grande Valley that is in that particular district, 90-plus percent Hispanic. It is now red for the first time, and it's an indication of more to come. And even Tesla and CEO Elon Musk voted for her. Yes, he's moved to Texas, so he said, I get to vote. He said, I'm proud to say this is the first time I've ever voted for a Republican, and I predict this is a massive red wave in 2022. If you can take some place like that that is full of Latinos that the Democrats want you to believe would vote Democrat all the way, they don't. They think for themselves. And they don't like the immigration. They're against abortion. They are also paying these high gas prices that Democrats are making us all suffer. They see the writing on the wall. They're smart enough to figure that out. And here's somebody else who figured things out. In Illinois, Caterpillar announcing, we're leaving. They're leaving the state of Illinois and its blue politics behind. They're moving corporate headquarters to Texas. Now, there's another company moving to Texas, getting out of a blue state like Musk got out of California. Does that not give you some indication of what's happening? And yet the Biden administration says, what us worry? We're not to blame. It's the Republicans. What a laugh. Stand by.
Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
I personally know at least three people who got sick from mold. It's not uncommon for homes, businesses to have a leak somewhere, and it doesn't take long for mold to start growing. Well, of course, I recommend Wellington Environmental. You don't want a company that's just going to clean up the water. Wellington has 34 years of experience. In fact, hospitals often have Wellington inspect and treat mold. Do what they do. Call 314-644-4930. 644-4930. Call Wellington for a mold inspection, air testing, professional remediation. 314-644-4930. 644-4930. AAA rated with the Better Business Bureau. Wellington Environmental. Your world cleaner, better, safer. Be well with Wellington. My sponsors keep this program on the air. So my thanks to John Beal Roofing, covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest. Best quality, lowest price. So when you need a roof, remember this sponsor for this program, John Beal Roofing. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Just this morning, the president taking aim at oil companies. What can you tell us about that?
Yeah, the president writing a letter to the CEOs of seven oil companies, specifically saying that Vladimir Putin deserves the credit for this spike in oil and gas prices, but he is also calling on oil companies to explain their profits and specifically their refining reduction. Here's what the president writes. He says, essentially, at a time of war, refinery profit margins are well above normal and being passed directly on to American families, and that's not acceptable.
Wow, isn't that a powerful statement from President Biden in that letter? That's part of an NBC report this morning on how Biden wrote a really nasty letter to the oil companies, and he said you can credit Putin for the price hikes. Well, is it the oil company or Putin or both? And on top of that, the word isn't credit. You wanted to say blame. If he wrote credit, somebody should have cleaned that copy up. But let's say it went out as you heard reported. Let me give you another figure that's happened that he wants to blame the oil companies. And you're going to hear in a moment a speech he made last Friday at the L.A. port, again, trying to attack the oil companies. But before that, let me read some of this letter to you, in fact. And it said, also that he might use emergency powers if American oil companies don't increase output at their refineries. Mind you again, how are you going to improve and increase the refinery production if nothing is coming in the pipeline? How are you going to do that if that Keystone XL pipeline, which would be finished by now, is not finished pipes still laying on the ground up and down the route, but you're not going to get any oil from Canada that way. We've still got others, but do we have enough? And how are you going to do it if you don't allow more oil and gas drilling by the oil companies themselves? Now, he insists they are purposely withholding some of their drilling. But before we get into that, let's jump back to last Friday when Biden made a declaration that, well, I don't know if you'd call it blasphemous or an exaggeration or just typical Biden. Listen.
Exxon made more money than God this year. And by the way, nothing's changed. And they're not, by the way, one thing I want to say about the oil companies. They talk about how they have 9,000 permits to drill. They're not drilling. Why aren't they drilling? Because they make more money not producing more oil. The price goes up, number one. And number two, the reason they're not drilling is they're buying back their own stock, which should be taxed, quite frankly, buying back their own stock and making no new investments.
And why should they? Why should they make more investments in drilling if you're going to overtax them? And in fact, you're not allowing them to drill where they think they should be able to drill. You're not even allowing them to explore. And you want to blame them? And how do you know how much money God makes? As if God cares about money. But it made a cute line, didn't it? Well, NBC, of course, they also picked up on how he talked about how these oil companies have all these rigs out there and they're sitting idle. Listen to this NBC report.
NBC News has reported in the past on this drop in refining capacity. We're down 6 refineries since 2020. A lot of reasons for that. Outdated technology, they need some maintenance. And now the president wants those oil companies to explain why they've had a drop in refining capacity, why that's adding to the price increase. He says the energy secretary will be holding an emergency meeting to get to the bottom of it.
What a piece of CRAP. There are a lot of differences, such as modern technology and one other little minor thing. It didn't really mention the fact that you have denied them the rights to use some of the oil and gas leases. You shut them down. You shut down a major pipeline that would have delivered more oil and gas to refineries at the Gulf Coast area. That didn't get mentioned, did it? Somehow or another, when he said, and there are a lot of reasons, two of them being one of them, technical advances. That won't stop an oil well from operating or drilling. And those guys work hard. Oil field workers, like many in this nation, work hard for every dollar they get. They're out there in all kinds of weather. And, of course, in the old days, it was light bulbs strung up and down the length of the derrick, the little, what they call the doghouse, where you gathered around a heater to stay warm if it was cold outside, grabbed a cup of coffee, and went back out. And if it's hot in the summer, there ain't no air conditioner. You just got to have to work your way through it. And you better watch handling those chains. You'll lose a finger. Now, they want to work, though. They want the jobs, they want the money, and they are willing to do so. And the oil companies make money by doing that. Yeah, they put money out on the floor and table for payments and things of that nature. But obviously they make money. Biden apparently doesn't have any understanding whatsoever. And in fact, when he was trying to address what's wrong with the economy, he wanted to point to anyone and everyone other than himself. And in fact, to that point, Steve Forbes was appearing on, I believe, Fox. And he got a question asking Steve Forbes, the head of Forbes magazine, what did you think about Biden's response to that question?
When you heard the president talking about inflation, what was your reaction?
Still in a bubble, still feeling that if you shout loud enough, trying to paint a rosy picture enough, people will fall for it. People won't fall for it because they go shopping. They buy gasoline. They see what's happening. And they also have the feeling, a rightful feeling, that this government and the Federal Reserve are at loose ends. They really don't know what to do. They're in uncharted waters. And it shows by what they're saying and doing and not doing.
Yeah. And on top of that, prices charged by U.S. businesses were up 10.8% in May compared with a year ago. That is the sixth straight month of the government's producer price inflation gauge running at or above 10%. Biden knows that you're suffering at the grocery store as well, or anywhere else where you go to buy things. But, of course, the gas price is the thing that hits everyone right in the face, because when you're there pumping it and you see the number keep going and going and going, you think, my God, you might as well look under the vehicle. Is there a hole in the tank? It just keeps going. And he said, well, we're going to have an emergency meeting with the the Energy Secretary. Let me give you her attitude. Remember, first of all, when she was asked a while back, what is the Secretary Granholm's plan for solving our energy crisis? like I could control. It's controlled by OPEC and so forth. I don't have anything to do. In other words, she said, I don't have anything to do with it. Wash my hands of that. That's your J-O-B. But she laughs it off. And within that, this week, she actually said gas prices are unsustainable. That's what her words are, unsustainable. But she said there is no quick fix, no kidding. She finally caught up to speed. You can't just walk in, turn the lights on, the factory goes back to humming just the way it was. It doesn't work that way. Within that context, a CBS journalist tried to put a positive spin on gas prices while speaking with Secretary Granholm today. She appeared on CBS, CNN, MSNBC's morning shows and discussing what the White House is going to do to combat the rising gas prices after Biden sent off that letter to the oil company execs, threatening them with emergency action if they don't increase production. But one CBS morning co-host said, if it's unsustainable, would this help move Americans to clean energy? Bingo. Bingo, you got it. That's the intent. The question, at what point do these gas prices become unsustainable? And two, ironically, does this push us closer to renewable energy? And the fellow co-host suggested Americans suffering economically could be a good thing because it would hasten the transition to green energy. Who the hell buys his gas for him? Oh, he's making maybe a cushy job as the CBS morning host. I have no idea what he's making. I could care less. If he can get it, good for him. But there are a lot of people out there that they're having to make really hard decisions. I don't have enough cash to get all the way where I need to go right now, so I need to figure out how I'm going to get it, and then how I'm going to get the cash to get back. But then he asked this question. Pardon me while I throw up. And you're going to, too. Here's the question. From a CBS morning host to Energy Secretary Granholm. Do you see this? By this, the suffering, the gas prices, so forth. Do you see this as a silver lining then to the pain many Americans are feeling? It will accelerate the move you mentioned, in other words, to green energy. A silver lining? Anyone out there enjoying your silver lining? Granholm agreed it was important to transition, but she denied. She got on the right side of that fence in a hurry. There's anything positive about the hardship Americans are facing. She didn't really have to do much. Just let the CBS news anchors do their thing. Let them talk about, well, there's a silver lining here because it'll push us closer to energy, green energy. You won't have a car. You won't have fuel to put in the car. then we get into these brownouts coming up this summer, the winter, the outages you'll see in the winter as well. Senator John Kennedy of the oil-producing state of Louisiana says Biden is basically, and the entire team, out to lunch.
Some of my Democratic colleagues have raised age as an issue for the president. In my judgment, age is the least of the president's problems. If he doesn't run for re-election, in my opinion, it will be because of his unpopularity. He and his administration are constantly screwing with the American people, telling them how to live their lives. And they do so in a way that does not improve the lives of most Americans.
He's absolutely right. I'm going to let you hear more of him later coming up. But first, I want you to hear from Congressman August Pfluger, Republican of Texas, on how this excuse machine just keeps going around and around.
Well, it's a classic shell game of flipping the narrative, at least trying to. And the American public's not buying it. Biden inherited $2 gasoline, and now we're at $5. We have record inflation, as you previously said today on this show. And we all know that it's not just 9,000 leases. We need 90,000 leases. These oil companies have asked him to approve pipelines and infrastructure. We've been asking to make sure that the regulatory environment is more predictable. And then to go to places like Russia and Venezuela, and now as ahead of his travel to Saudi Arabia, to know that he's going to be asking another foreign country to produce what we can do right here, it's just incredible. And the American public is not buying it at all.
And we're down.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Some of my Democratic colleagues have raised age as an issue for the president. In my judgment, age is the least of the president's problems. If he doesn't run for re-election, in my opinion, it will be because of his unpopularity. I don't think I'm unlike most Americans. I know about 90% of my personal and political philosophy is don't hate, don't hurt someone unless you have to defend yourself, don't take other people's stuff, and leave me alone. And President Biden obviously disagrees. He and his administration are constantly screwing with the American people, telling them how to live their lives. And they do so in a way that does not improve the lives of most Americans.
I wanted you to hear that complete bite. You heard part of it in the previous segment from Senator John Kennedy, Republican of Louisiana. Very direct, doesn't mince any words, and says to some of those people in the Biden administration, they're just wacko, been out in the meth lab too long. Bill Clinton, at least, appointed highly intellectual idiots. But the Biden appointments, and so many of them are leaving and continue to. And, of course, we have the 2022 election coming up. Primaries already underway. And 2024 not that far off. And who do the Democrats have? Who can they put forward? Going to get into that with my next guest in the next hour, that basically he says the Democrats knew Joe Biden was damaged goods, but they put him in office anyway. Now, how stupid is that? We'll get into that with my guest coming up in a moment. But yesterday, again, all these primaries underway, and those backed by Donald Trump had a near perfect night in South Carolina, Nevada, North Dakota primaries, and 12 securing nominations. Only one lost her race. So Trump's endorsement right now stands at 129-8 in Republican primaries this midterm election cycle. One of them was Senator Russell Fry, who thumped the incumbent Congressman Tom Rice in South Carolina's 7th Congressional District. Trump had slammed Rice while endorsing Fry, dubbing Rice, quote, the coward who abandoned his constituents by caving in to Nancy Pelosi, the radical left, and who actually voted against me on impeachment hoax number 2. Now, the Trump-backed former state representative Katie Arrington did lose her race to incumbent Congresswoman Nancy Mace in the 1st Congressional District. She did get the endorsement of her governor and U.N. Ambassador, former U.N. Ambassador Nikki Haley. But the New York Times shows 7 candidates who received Trump endorsements, winning the nomination: Senator Tim Scott, Republican; Governor Harry McMaster, Republican, governor for nominee for governor; Attorney General Alan Wilson, Republican, nominee for Attorney General, obviously; and let me see who else here: Congressman Williams, Duncan, Timmons, and Norman. But the biggest swing yesterday happened along the Rio Grande Valley. In this particular county, where it's 90%+ Hispanic, Myra Flores ran as a Republican and won big time. Even Elon Musk voted for her, saying it's first time I've ever voted for a Republican. It's the beginning of the red wave. You know why? Because Latinos, the Mexicans who are in our country legally, don't like all the illegal immigration. They don't like the open borders. They're against abortion. They also are having to deal with these high gas prices. And they know the Democrats have been trying to lead them around by the nose, like they have been doing and continue doing, or try anyway, with much of the black voters. More blacks are walking away. And the word for black voters, you're about to be replaced as a party of concern by Democrats. They're going to put more focus on Latino votes than you this time. You watch. My guest coming up: why did the Democrats put in damaged goods for a candidate to begin with? You want to hear this? Coming up. Stand by, please.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
Many car dealers are quick to sell you a car, but Ackerman Toyota knows that's just the beginning of your relationship. When it comes time for routine or special service work, others might be too busy. Not Ackerman Toyota. Hours and days to fit your schedule. Ackerman Toyota at Hampton, just north of Interstate 44. Ackerman Toyota for life.
Drinking dog whiskey, telling wild lies. One leads to another on Saturday night. Don't you cross your heart unless you hold the dime. Drinking dog whiskey, telling wild lies.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Welcome back. My guest coming up, we're establishing contact with now, and part of the problem is that I did not get the full number transmitted to my director, so my board producer, and that's not fair to him, is it? So we're apparently a couple of digits got left off. It's Christopher Bedford coming up, and Chris is... I'm trying to pull this number up again here. I sent it to myself. Now I can't get it to unload for me. Well, this is just not right. Okay, Bay Bear, bear with me. Chris is a senior editor with The Federalist, by the way. And he did a great piece that I want to get into that... well, I'm not getting anything to come through here right now. I'll send it to your email if that'll help. This is one of these folks, when it comes to live stuff, this is sometimes what happens, because in this case, my mistake, nobody else's, it's all mine. Oh, no, I can't get to thinking that I I just sent to your email. I get to thinking I can blame it on Joe Biden. Can I not? I think I can. I think we will. And in fact, because we're having a little bit of delay. Okay, now he's got it. We're in trouble with our email system going back and forth anyway. But the real problem was mine because it got cut off when we printed the sheet up. But Chris Bedford is a senior editor at The Federalist, also founding partner at RightForge. That's a pro-liberty internet hosting company. So I think you need to know about this because this might also involve Trump's new internet system as well. So I do want to get a better understanding on that as well as the main subject we have set up for him. And I think we're getting established now. Is that right? Okay. Chris, are you there?
Yes, I am.
All right, Chris, I apologize for the delay. In fact, I'm going to ask right now, are you going to be able to hold over if I need to on the break just to make sure we get more time? The part of,
sure.
Part of your number got lost. All right, well, we will do that, Mark. We will carry him over the break briefly. Chris, I mentioned you're a senior editor of The Federalist, also founding partner of RightForge, a pro-liberty internet hosting company. Before I get to details of our main subject, what exactly is RightForge, and is it tied to the Trump system coming out?
It is. RightForge is an internet server company, which is something that, you know, liberty-minded people haven't really had to consider until the last year and a half or so.
Right.
Because previously, internet servers weren't politicized. You could host the website anywhere you wanted to, and it didn't really matter. They weren't going to try and take you down and knock you out for it. That all changed with Parler, and that day we founded our company and RightForge. And since then, we've worked with a number of clients, some of whom don't want to be canceled and are afraid that they're at risk of being canceled, and other companies just don't want to give their money to Silicon Valley anymore. And, yeah, we've been pretty excited that one of the main ones that we've been able to work with is Trump Technology and Media Company on their social media platform, Truth.
All right. Well, good. I'm glad to hear that. And obviously, we need more of that coming out. Thanks very much for the update on it. So let's get to the topic at hand, and that is, as a senior editor of The Federalist, you wrote a piece that I have kind of retitled. You said it a little bit more politely, but I said that Democrats knew Joe Biden was damaged goods, and now they're paying the price. You didn't say damaged goods, but that's what I say. How say you?
I think that's exactly right. Joe Biden is someone Democrats chose because the bench that they had is so far to the left that Democratic kingmakers in the Congress and the Senate didn't think that their voters would be able to back it. They were open borders. They were defund the police. They were confiscate the AR-15s. Those were all the different things that they were saying. Joe Biden wasn't saying that. Now, they looked at Joe Biden, and they knew. We'd watched his career in public for almost half a century.
Sure.
They knew that he wasn't up to where he used to be. They knew he was slowing down, that he was running out of energy, that he was showing all the signs that, sadly, we're all familiar with from seeing friends and family and relatives who have suffered with the effects of age. But they decided to make that bet anyways because they thought at least he'd be more palatable to the electorate. Well, now he's turned out to be pushing all of those very same hard-left policies, at least in their essentialness, on the stage, combined with his age problem. The Democrats are starting to get second thoughts about this whole thing. And amazingly, they're beginning to panic before even the midterms are up. You see Don Lemon on CNN asking questions and making demands about the president's ability to govern. You see Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez reluctant to try and say any kind of endorsement right now for Joe Biden's reelection. And you see the White House pushing back against this. But of course they would, because they don't ever want to be seen as just some kind of lame duck. They need to they don't have that much power left on Capitol Hill. But if they say Joe Biden's a one-term president, well, that power is going to go to zero.
But who do they have on the field?
Well, that's exactly the Democrats' problem. They're having second thoughts, but they're running into the same issue they ran into in 2020, which is they have no one really on the field. I think a lot of Democrats are crossing their fingers and praying that Michelle Obama will jump in the ring. Although even with Michelle Obama, she's very popular when she's off the world stage, but a rather divisive figure when she's in the news all the time, when she's on the world stage. Aside from that, the Democratic bench is extremely slim, whether it's Pete Buttigieg or Kamala Harris, who's disliked completely by the Democrats. They don't have many people to run. They're looking for trouble no matter what.
Now, I know you did part of this this same discussion recently for one of the networks, and the thing I got again from it was that they're flailing in the wind. I mean, really and truly, they are absolutely. But there's only so much that they can acknowledge to right now. And Jennifer Aniston, I think it take it back. It was not there. It was a get out the vote attempt in L.A. Michelle Obama was there, and it was sparsely attended despite Selena Gomez appearing.
There's not a lot of excitement right now on the left. Their base are, here's a problem that Joe Biden has. His approval ratings are incredibly low, far lower than Trump, who is a controversial president, ever got. Now, Trump never really got below 40% because he always gave red meat to his base. He did things that folks who supported him really liked. What can Joe Biden point to that says this is what the left-wing base wants, this is what the voters want? So far, he's teased a little bit about forgiving student loan debt through a federal, through an executive order. But that's essentially it. I guess he hasn't opened. He hasn't cracked down on the border. Of course, that's been good for them. But that's not something they'll cheer for unless there's fully open borders. He's not able to go the whole direction, the whole length that they want to satisfy them. And instead, he's just ending up being lukewarm in their mouths and upsetting the entire country.
You mentioned even the Democrats are turning against him, and that includes, you mentioned Don Lemon and state-controlled media in general. And that's what I call them now, not mainstream, but state-controlled. I mean, they have the White House, they have the House, they have the Senate with that 51st casting a deciding vote from VP Harris. But CNN political commentator and former Obama official Van Jones said, I think everybody's looking very closely at Joe. I think when he does really well, that gun speech you gave, he was perfect, he's powerful. When he does badly, when he stumbles, you get nervous and you wonder, is that just his stutter? Is he tired? Is something else there? And more people are looking. I think a lot of Democrats are like, if this guy is ready to go, we're behind him. But if he's not ready to go, we should let us know. And by going, he's talking about going forward and running again. They're not getting any clear signal from him, are they?
No, there certainly is no clear signals coming from Joe Biden, haven't been for years. Van Jones is trying to say it delicately there, but the reality is anyone who watched Joe Biden when he was vice president to Barack Obama and compared it to now couldn't come away with the conclusion that, oh, he's just been tired for 2 or 3 years. He was entirely hidden from the campaign trail for a reason. They blamed COVID, but really it was mental decline. It's on display everywhere you go. And, you know, foreigners can sometimes be obnoxiously honest about American politics. When you travel abroad, people will tell you what they think. When I traveled abroad during the Bush years, I'd get yelled at for global warming or the war in Iraq. People are very quick to say their thoughts. I've been able to go abroad for a couple of weddings and family reunions this past few months, and over again, I have heard from people, the number one question, that usually from a polite, liberal European audience, is, what's wrong with Joe Biden? It's pretty obvious, isn't it? That's the number one thing I get over and over again. It's extremely impolite in America to suggest that maybe the president is suffering the severe effects of age. But it's so clear to the disinterested observer who watches this in the news from Europe or Australia, that's the first thing they ask about.
Well, we're going to take a short break. If you can hold over, can you do that?
I sure can.
I'd like to ask a couple more questions, and I won't take much more of your time, but please stand by. We'll continue our conversation and with Chris Bedford, senior editor of The Federalist. Stand by.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
I don't endorse anyone unless I believe in them. So I can tell you with confidence and with personal knowledge, Rottler Pest Solutions will rid your home, your business, of pests without any danger to your family or pets. Rottler, the only pest control company you need. Call for a free estimate, 877-ROTTLER, 877-ROTTLER, or go to Rottler.com, Rottler Pest Solutions.
It ain't me. It ain't me. I ain't no senator, song.
Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
We're back with the senior editor of the Federalist and also founding partner of Right Forge, a pro-liberty internet hosting company, Chris Bedford. Chris, a couple of questions, one based off of the primaries and especially along the Rio Grande Valley yesterday, Myra Flores capturing a big, you know, winning over that county that's always been blue, and it's filled with Latinos. What does that say about Joe's ability or even the Democrat Party to hold together a cohesive base in that area?
Well, long before Tucker Carlson of the Federalist was talking about this, Democrats had a theory that demographics were destiny. They wrote best-selling books about the idea that if they just increased immigration, that'd be the end of the Republican Party, that they celebrated when white Americans became less than 50% because they said that would be the end of the Republican Party. But the problem is they just looked at people as simply race and didn't talk about the ideas or the politics or the concepts of free will. And here you've got probably the 50th example we've seen in the last 5 years of the Hispanic population of the country shifting more and more towards Republican politics and the things that Republicans are pushing. Now, Texas has always had an Hispanic population that was more conservative than, say, California or Ohio.
Sure.
Population. But down in the Rio Grande, that valley, the number one issues for them are not global warming or LGBTQ. The number one issues for them are border security,
yes,
crime, law and order, safety, and the Border Patrol that's
and so gas
quickly
prices.
Villainized. And gas prices and inflation, exactly. And the Border Patrol that's so quickly villainized by Democrats is not a bunch of 1950s Irish police officers. Down at the border, it's Hispanics.
That's right.
Her husband is a Border Patrol agent. She's the first member of Congress who was born in Mexico. All of these things just fly right in the face of the exact and total cartoon versions of politics the Democrats have been pushing.
They were thinking they would lead them as a monolithic vote, as they have with the blacks. We'll pick you up off the urban reservation at time for voting and then take you back. Which brings me
exactly
to another point is, and I have said to this audience, because many more blacks are going independent or Republican, walking away from Democrat plantations, and I'm saying that Democrats are going to start looking more at the brown vote than the black vote, so the black vote, you better get ready for that. You're going to be abandoned.
Exactly. They've treated it monolithically, and they've completely abused the vote. And you've seen this particularly amongst black men, a shift toward the Republican Party. You've seen this with the recall of the San Francisco DA, where all except for one neighborhood that was minority voted for the recall effort, because these policies are voted for by a lot of white liberals, but that's what the Democratic Party has become the party of. Even right now, with the last handout to the left, they're teasing the student loan forgiveness. Who does that impact more than the wealthy white liberals? It's certainly not actually helping the minority and the poor and the working class white communities. They're becoming a party of college educated, professional white people, and that's where their concerns are, and that's where their electorate shifted.
All right. Chris, thank you very much. Senior editor of the Federalist, founding partner at Right Forge, a pro-liberty internet hosting company. And, Chris, you might want to hang on the line here. We'll keep the line open to, in case you missed the words of Senator John Kennedy, a Louisiana Republican, on his definition between Clinton's appointments and Biden's appointments.
President Clinton appointed what one commentator called this week a bunch of high IQ stupid people. In other words, they were well educated but no common sense. President Biden has appointed whack jobs. I mean, it's like these people dropped acid in an outback parking lot. You can't reason with them. That they are just so awoke, so woke, and that's the difference in my opinion, and why they haven't course corrected.
Yep. That's about right. You agree, Chris?
I do, and it reminds me of Ronald Reagan's great quote, "The trouble with our liberal friends is not that they're ignorant, it's just they know so much that isn't so."
True. Chris Bedford, thank you for your extra time as well, sir. Always glad to have you.
Great to be back. Talk to you soon.
You bet. Chris Bedford, senior editor of The Federalist. By the way, if you're looking for some more evidence of how your economy is going to go, And I was just talking to a banker about this yesterday. He said, yeah, we'll probably see maybe two more hikes, not likely three. And I said, what, you thinking in the 0.25% mark? Yeah, they won't go above 0.25. Newsbreaker here. Newsbreaker to my banker friend, who I also play poker with. Hope he brings more money next time. Federal Reserve raising its benchmark interest rate by 75 basis points for the first time in nearly 30 years. Trying to cool down this red-hot inflation. 75-point base hike. So they may not have another two or three, maybe only one more, but he was expecting no more than 0.25. I think many would agree with that. Maybe do that another time, maybe third time. But here they did it all in one fell swoop. 75% base hike. But if you listen to Papa Joe, everything's okay. It ain't my fault. Blame Putin. Blame migratory birds. Blame Larry Connors. I'm not going to take the blame. I had nothing to do with it. If I did, you wouldn't even be in office. But I thank you for listening. You're helping us make a strong imprint, not only in this market, but across the nation. Thank you. And remember our pledge. One nation. Under God.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.